told of a gentleman in St. John's who began his day by eating his breakfast and reading the newspaper, and when he got to the obituaries, discovered that somebody had placed his obituary in the paper. And he was taken back by it and a little bit flustered, and so he called the minister. And he said to the minister, who was a friend of his, "George, have you read the paper today?" And he said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Well, somebody put my obituary in the paper. Do you know anything about it?" And the minister said, "No. And where are you calling from?" Okay. There's a Newfie joke for you. So the disciples were sent out. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, and they had a wonderful time. They came back, I believe, with enthusiasm. It says in a different gospel that they were excited because they saw the power and the work of God. Even the demons submitted to them, and many sick people were healed. And they came back and they were full of enthusiasm. But they also came back a little bit weary, as you can imagine, as they were going out and they were active and they were tired. And Jesus said to them, "Let's go off to a quiet place and we can get some rest and we can catch up and we can visit." But the crowds followed, as we've read, and they weren't even able to eat because of the crowds. And Jesus began to teach the crowds. And as the story unfolds, we see that Jesus said to them, "Okay, feed them." Well, how can we do that? Interesting. They were sent out two by two, and they had this amazing time of ministry where they ministered to people, as we've already seen, and wonderful things were done. But then as soon as they got back, and Jesus said, "Okay, now do this." And they said, "Well, how can we do that?" A little bit of a challenge there, a little bit of a question there. I'll speculate. The story isn't unfolded, but let me speculate two things. First of all, they were tired. When we're on top of our game, when we're well rested, and when we're prepared, when we see a challenge, we can take it in stride, can't we? But even when you've been out and you've been doing the good thing, it's still tiring. And then to be faced with a new challenge when you're tired, the challenge that when you're rested and prepared seems to be this big. But when we face a challenge when we're tired, it seems to be this big. All of a sudden, the little thing, the great challenge when we're rested is small, but the little challenge that we face when we're tired knocks us over, doesn't it? And I suspect that was the case. It may have been also that all of a sudden they were faced with 5,000 men plus women and children. When they were going out two by two, perhaps they were meeting with people one by one or by families, just one after another. But all of a sudden they were faced with the big picture. There is a huge multitude. Okay, feed them. Well, how do we do that? And they were overwhelmed with that when they saw before them the challenge. When they saw. When we face life, when we see the problems, there are times where we are tempted to be overwhelmed, aren't we? And it's not just the fact of the big problems. Sometimes the adrenaline kicks in, and we go about tearing out our business, and then as soon as we come home and we see the dishes in the sink, that's when we fall apart. Isn't that the case? And I'm not saying that happened, so don't read into it. But in general, that's how it is for us. The adrenaline kicks in, the coping mechanism, the fight or flight response kicks in, and we're up to the challenge and we're going at it, and then all of a sudden we see something and boom, then we're off then we fall off the cliff. Well, what do we do? Well, I'll suggest three things this morning. And this is not in any particular order, because things can happen in their own way. Each situation is different. But I'll suggest this. First of all, decide to trust God. When we're faced with a challenge, when we're faced with the immensity, make a decision. That's one thing that we can do. Make a decision, even though the challenge might be great, we might not even have time to think, or it may be an ongoing challenge. The thing that we need to do is decide to trust God. We believe that God is alive. We believe that He is not a figment of our imagination, a crutch, or anything else of the sort, but we decide to trust God because Jesus is alive. That He did conquer the grave. And so we can say, we can make the decision, I will trust You, Lord. I will trust You. We can make a decision. That's one thing that we can do. Sometimes it's easier than others. There are times where that decision comes at the beginning of a crisis, where we'll say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Sometimes that decision comes at the end of it, as we've been working through and we've been seeing God's faithfulness. Okay, God, You've been with me. Yes, I will continue to trust You. We have the ability to make a decision to trust God. The second thing that I'd suggest is, do not be in the place of doubt. Many voices will pull you down. Many people may even be comforters, may even empathize or pity, but they still don't build you up. They may be friends, and I'm not knocking them down, but when we really think about it, they may not be saying the good thing. They may be there, but they may not be building you up. Instead, do not be in the place of doubt. Make a decision not to listen to the voice of doubt and despair. Instead, number three, be in the place of faith. The one thing that's interesting about this passage is that Jesus did not condemn them as they were walking through this situation. Jesus didn't condemn them and say, come on guys, smarten up, get with the program. Wasn't like a coach, you know, when you're at the gym, a personal trainer. Come on, one more time, get with it. You can do it. But Jesus was walking them through it and was very patiently and helping them through it as he is also with us, very patiently. But they were with Jesus, and that was the right place to be. That there are times where we simply need to be in the right place and to listen to the words of faith and the promises of God. That there are times where the situation can be overwhelming, but we still need to say, Lord, I'm going to listen to You. A number of years ago, many years ago, when we were first married, Debbie and I were facing a difficult challenge where in one sense we were powerless. And I learned about fasting in that situation because I thought, Lord, I can't do anything else but just stay in Your presence and wait before You. And I was really upset. Somebody could have said to me, you're not trusting God, you're upset. No, I was upset. But I was trusting God because I was staying in the presence of God. You see, there's a big difference. When we make decisions, the emotions follow. When we make decisions to be in the place of listening to God and not trusting the voice of doubt, that is trusting God. And then the emotions will follow. For many times, with our emotions, they kick in, don't they? God has built us so that we have a fight or flight response. We face a challenge. All of a sudden, we've got to deal with it. or we run away from it. Those are emotions. Not good nor bad. They are our emotions. They're our response. But then the challenge is, what do we do? And as believers, we can stand upon the sure promise of God. He is with His people. He is with His people, and He will see us through. And He will see us through. That's what communion is all about. Jesus came. Jesus walked among us. Jesus walks among us. He died for us. He did not stay in the grave, but He is alive and has ascended to the Father and is preparing a place for us. So that no matter what challenge we face, we know that He is with us and we can stand. It may be that we face challenges, but we can't listen to the voice of doubt. We need to make decisions every day to stand with God. Yes, there are challenges that we face. We are tempted to be overwhelmed by times. But He gives us promises to stand upon, grace to rest in, to experience His love. Anybody here free from challenges? Probably not. But there are times where we are tempted to throw in the towel, aren't we? Times to say, what's the point? But, as Paul said, though we may be crushed, we are not defeated. His grace is sufficient for us. We look at the proof of His love and His grace. For our communion, let's continue to celebrate, and we celebrate an open communion that if we have the intention